I feel like I always have to burp right before we start recording. Every single time.
I usually do too.
Is that like a Pavlov thing?
Yeah, it's part of the experience.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Ride Home Podcast. My name is Abby.
Hey guys, it's Caitlin.
We apologize. I know we were like, oh my God, we're back. Like, we're so back. This is great. We apologize for taking another hiatus, but this time it was not like for us and like just like, you know, taking it easy. Unfortunately, Caitlin's dad did pass away a couple of weeks ago. So we were obviously spending time with him, spending time with Caitlin's family. And so that is why we were absent for the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it to you and I to come back on another horror movie.
Come back on a horror.
We always want to come back to horror.
Typical Abby and Caitlin.
Typical us. We are true fans of The Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw it for the first time in like 2010-ish.
Okay.
And I have watched it every year since I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I count the number of years that's been. That's the number of times I've seen it. Oftentimes, you know, there are years that I've watched it twice. But every October, I watch this movie. Since we've been together, we've watched it together in October.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely one of the scariest movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Criminally underrated.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What's the deal with that?
I don't understand it.
No.
Because there are so many other horror movies that are just unbelievably awful,
mm-hmm,
compared to The Strangers, but like still have better ratings than Strangers.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Something's weird with that.
Something is very strange with it.
Strange.
But I, fun fact, saw Strangers for the first time in a house that had, which you've been in, obviously. It was,
mm-hmm,
a college house that we've both been in. My friend lived there, and it was literally just a full front of the house was just windows.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the back of the house was too.
I was going to say.
So the design of the house was very like mid-century modern, mm-hmm, and it was just giant windows. And I'm not going to lie, it was very hard to sleep that night because I was sleeping out in the living room in the, like,
oh,
on the pull-out mattress.
Uh-huh.
It was quite an interesting house to watch that movie in for the first time.
Terrifying.
I think the only other way that it would be scarier would be like in the middle of the woods or something like that.
Yeah.
But a genuinely terrifying film.
So scary.
It has one of the best shots in horror also of all time. I think everyone who has seen that movie knows what that shot is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ruin it for people. I am going to ruin this movie for people, though, because I don't think that spoilers, no spoilers,
mm-hmm,
are necessary for this movie.
No.
We saw a, I guess, prequel because it's chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would be the prequel.
Or
are they trying
technically
to?
Technically, they're kind of considering it a prequel, maybe.
Right.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's going to be a chapter two.
Which I don't know if they're just saying that this is like a new trilogy or if this is supposed to take place like beforehand. They didn't really like.
Didn't
really explain that. But we saw Strangers chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind giving us the synopsis and just basic cast list? You can really just say the two people because
the
there's
two people.
Uh-huh.
The cast of two. After their car breaks down in an eerie small town, a young couple is forced to spend the night in a remote cabin. Panic ensues as they are terrorized by three masked strangers who strike with no mercy and seemingly no motive. And this movie stars Madeleine Petch and Froy Gutierrez,
which I think people who have seen Riverdale,
mm-hmm,
who have unfortunately seen Riverdale. Well, I'm going to word that.
Unfortunately seen Riverdale.
It's the redhead from Riverdale. I don't remember her character's name in Riverdale. But
dang, I don't either.
I don't know. She's the one whose like brother was dead at the beginning.
Yeah.
She's a rich girl. She ends up being gay.
Something.
I don't know. Riverdale was a...
Yeah.
Riverdale...
was a fever dream.
Was a fever dream. And not only was it a fever dream, but like the entire cast just accepted it for the fever dream that it was.
They leaned in
and leaned in hard
into
it.
They leaned in real hard.
And I feel like all of them, upon series wrap, probably felt like they were being released from prison.
Probably. Yeah.
Because they, like, eventually, like, they stopped taking it seriously. And it's like their acting got worse and worse and worse.
Riverdale was a hot mess.
Riverdale is the essence of CW. Like, it is just like, that is what CW is.
It is.
It was on CW, right?
It was on CW. Yes.
It had to mm-hmm. have been.
It was on CW.
So, anyway, she was on Riverdale, and I feel like is a very natural pick for a horror. Like, she seems like a horror actress.
I was gonna say, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen her in more horror.
So maybe we'll see her start to branch out into more of like a Scream Queen type of role in her acting career. I can't really see her doing much more besides like television character
acting. I was gonna
acting.
Say like a Hallmark movie.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Is that mean?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay, I'm just trying to be realistic.
No, it's not. Let's just be blunt about it. It's not hard to act scared.
No.
And so if you're pretty and you can act scared, horror probably is going to work out for you.
Other than that, it leaves Lifetime and Hallmark, which I think is like a better fit for her, maybe.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not all right. Everybody's front and center.
Yeah. We're not hating on her.
No, we're not. She just, you know, stick with what you can do.
We love you, Madeline, but maybe stick to horror. That might be your genre.
Maybe that's best.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror and it being someone's genre.
Yeah.
It's your genre.
It is my genre.
You own the genre of horror.
It belongs to
me. Yeah, it's yours. And you love The Strangers so much.
Yeah.
I have decided that it is your turn to share your thoughts and feelings first.
Okay.
So, Abby, tell me what you thought about The Strangers Chapter 1.
If The Strangers 2008 never existed.
Okay.
This would be a perfectly fine movie. I think it would be one of those kind of just like popcorn horror movies that you just like see once, you enjoy it while you're there, it has some scares, whatever. The issue with Strangers Chapter 1 is that the plot is almost identical to Strangers 2008. Like, there are beats that happen throughout the script and moments that happen throughout the script that are almost identical. Yeah. Like, instead of going to get her cigarettes, he goes to get her food. Instead of it being like, you know, he just proposed at the wedding and, you know, she said no and all that. Like, they're talking about like whether or not this guy is going to propose in the near future. There's a literal scene of them accidentally shooting an innocent person, which is also in the original. There's a scene where they're trying to escape in a car and the car strikes them from behind. There's a scene where they're hiding in like a shed.
Yes.
They twist their ankle. It was literally like, as I was watching it, it almost became comedic because I thought to myself, are they assuming that nobody who's seeing this movie has seen the first one?
Yeah.
Because if you never seen the first one, again, it could be perfectly palatable. Like, it was two relatively likable people. Like, they didn't have major flaws that I was like, oh my God, like, get these fucking kids off my screen.
See,
or you didn't like. Okay.
I need to say something.
Okay.
Can I interject about that? I hated him.
Oh, the guy.
He was making me feel really skeeved out and weird for some reason. Like, he was giving like low-key villain energy and I didn't like him or trust him, and I felt like he also was not a good actor.
I agree with you, and I think there's a reason why you felt that way, and I actually like made note to talk about it in the theater. They did this weird thing with him where he was constantly framed centered really close to the camera and looking into the camera to deliver his lines. I couldn't really understand why they decided to do that, because it was giving like Joker. Like it was like he was talking very slow and like methodical. And I know that they were trying to make it so that like he was kind of the like the realist and like the practical guy, and like, you know, he was trying to talk her off a ledge and all that. So I kind of agree with you that like his character wasn't very enjoyable
just
to
like
watch.
His delivery was kind of cold. I don't know, I didn't,
he also had like kind of like the smartest man in the room syndrome. Like he seemed like he just like mansplained his way through the entire horror movie.
Yeah, to me he wasn't likable at all.
So okay, I'll take that back.
She was like moderately likable.
She's pretty.
She just is pretty.
Yeah.
And that's,
I think, like, one of my least favorite things that he ever did in the entire movie was whenever he was like, oh, there's a motorcycle outside, like, let me go get some food or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, let me just steal this motorcycle real quick.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't belong to you, sir.
With like the most confidence in the world.
Imagine you're staying at an Airbnb and you're like, oh, cool, a motorcycle.
Yeah. Let me just take this for a little whirl around the town. Also, another issue that I have with this movie in general is that certainly the first one is not perfect in the sense that there aren't cliches of like the horror genre. But a horror genre cliche is okay if it's worked in like naturally. If it's not this glaring like, oh my God, this is so obnoxious. But this entire movie was just a giant cliche. Like everything was predictable. Everything, like, you knew what was going to happen next. First of all, because it was following the exact plot of the first one. And second, like, it was like the whole like small town gas station with a creepy mechanic, the diner that's empty at night. Like, it was all of these really almost silly like cliches that it felt like it was like a fan-made film.
It was too many of them. Like you said, like the first one had that to a certain point. But they were kind of just like randomly sprinkled in throughout. And I feel like this, honestly, this entire movie was a cliche.
Speaking of being randomly sprinkled in, his asthma was...
Okay, so unnecessary.
So they set up this guy at the very beginning to have asthma. They like almost get into a car accident at the beginning, which, like, again, another cliche. That's at the beginning of like 5,000 horror movies is something involving a car
in the
on
woods.
The way to somewhere. So they almost get into a wreck, and he like pulls out his inhaler because he's like huffing and puffing or whatever. And they just randomly come back to this inhaler. And so you think that there's going to be a build to a scene where like he's actually like really struggling to to breathe. And then the
something else happens.
Are you talking about the water bottle?
The water bottle inhaler that he fashioned.
So in the middle of the fucking woods, when he's getting chased by these people, he twists up a water bottle and like lets it go and then breathes in whatever is twisted, like the air that's twisted inside the water bottle.
I didn't
bottle.
Understand this, the mechanics
can,
behind that
can
at all.
Can someone with asthma confirm whether or not that is something that you can actually do?
That seemed very made up.
Like, I thought inhalers like actually had like a steroid
it
that you
does.
Inhale.
There's
into,
like medicine that like opens up your passages.
And he was like instantly cured.
Instantly cured.
Like, I thought that they were going to build to, like, I don't know. I thought it would be cooler, personally, if, like, they just watched him, like, if the strangers, like, watched him basically, like, suffocate.
Well, that kind of felt like the point, like you said, that kind of felt like the point of setting up the inhaler, like, from the beginning. Because then there's the moment of panic where he realizes the inhaler's in the car.
Right.
Which is back in town. So you're like, oh, fuck, he has to go back in town and get his inhaler. Right. And it's like this whole thing. And like, that was building tension and was building anxiety. Because I was like, there's going to be a moment where he can't breathe. And like, they're going to know.
And that's a terrifying, that's why I would think that that's a more interesting death. Because like, every human being is terrified of the concept of not being able to breathe. Like, that's like everyone's number one thing is like, you know, drowning, buried alive, not being able to breathe. Like, suffocating is like, we can all agree, the worst way to die.
100%.
And then they ended up just killing him the same way that they killed the guy in the first one.
So weird. I don't understand the point of that.
I think what was frustrating to me was that I caught myself enjoying certain parts of it because, mm-hmm. like, it's the characters that I know. Sure. Like, it's the, you the know, same the masks. Same masks. You know, there were some good scares, mm-hmm. where, like, you know, we jumped and it was like, oh, my God, like, that's crazy. But it was like watching, like, the great value version of
yeah, the original. Yeah, it was like the original, but, like, not as good.
Yeah. And I will say that I, on Friday, before we saw it, I watched Pray at Night by myself, mm-hmm. which is the second Strangers.
Okay.
So this one, I think it's supposed to be like a sequel. Like, I think it's supposed to okay. happen like immediately after this.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that one had like a very different setting. It took place in like a mobile home park. Mm-hmm. It was a full family, like two siblings mm-hmm. and two parents being chased.
Okay.
It had a little more gore than the first one. And I feel like it expanded upon the first one in kind of the way that like a horror sequel typically does, mm-hmm. which is it might not be as fine-tuned, but as sequels go, it kind of gets like more and more ridiculous or more mm-hmm. and more like extreme. And I thought that Pray at Night did a good job of doing that. And I thought it did a good job of doing something that was different than the first one.
Okay.
But then like this one is just the fucking same thing. So I think that was my biggest hang up with this movie, second to the disgusting product placement that happened.
Dude, like in the first like 2 minutes of the movie.
And they never mention it again.
They never mention it again
so
at all.
Ally, I guess, is like a bank. Yeah. Or like a loan lender.
I thought she said Allie.
Allie. It's A-L-L-Y.
I think it is a bank.
They're driving in the car talking about how they're like moving to...
If she gets, what it was, if she was like applying for a job out there.
Yeah, she was applying to a job.
And she was like, if I get this job, will you really move out here with me? And he was like, yes. And then just like randomly, she's like, oh, I got $4,000 to my phone.
It literally, she pulls open her phone and it's a clear product placement app mm-hmm. of like what it would look like if you received money from this mm-hmm. actual lender. And it's like $4,000. And she just randomly in the middle of the conversation mm-hmm. goes, oh, our funds came through.
Funds
first of
for
all
what?
Funds for what? Second of all, they're not married.
No
funds for what? Again,
yeah, they like, never discuss why they needed that money. Why did you need $4,000?
We're not sure.
What was the $4,000 for?
Maybe we'll find out in part two.
I hope we do, and I hope we find out all of their financial history in part two.
Well, again, I'm just gonna say it, I'm annoyed at myself mm-hmm. because I did catch myself enjoying it. I feel a little embarrassed that like while I was sitting there like crunching my popcorn and sucking down my blue raspberry icy that I was like, I'm having a good time. But also like, we haven't been to the movies in a bit. It's the experience. We had a really lively audience.
We did
also
have a very lively audience, which makes things much better.
Much better.
Needless to say, I don't think there was many moments in this movie that I found myself enjoying it.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what I was expecting out of this movie. I don't mm-hmm. know. I thought it was like a prequel and like we were going to get
like some backstory
like
on
an
the villains.
Origin story on yes. the masked people and like find out like how they got started
or like
in it all.
No, figure out who Tamra is.
Who is Tamra?
Who is fucking Tamra?
Is Tamra home?
That's really good. Spooky.
Except in this one, they changed it and she said, is Tamra here?
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, same line.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I learned anything about why these people are doing this. I know they say it's because you're home.
Yeah.
But I'm like, who are these
but that's,
people?
But that's another thing, which is interesting. If they changed the line whenever they asked at the end mm-hmm. of the movie, like, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. In the first one, they say, because you were home. Mm-hmm. And in this one, they said, because you were here.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you changed it, but not really.
Did they like TM? Did they like trademark yeah. it? Like,
I don't know. I was just expecting more from this movie. And I thought we were going to get more of an insight into the people who do this and why they do it. Or uh-huh. maybe this was like their first spook or something.
Yeah.
But like, based on the timeline, I feel like this was present day because of the whole Ally bank whatever thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just like very confused about where and when and why this all happened.
Yeah. And what was interesting too was that they placed two characters from the original, which are the two boys on the bikes. That's like
the Mormon,
church people.
Jehovah. I don't know what they are.
Whatever they are. And it's like, were they trying to set up that those are the same boys? Or are they trying to set up that this is just the same town and this church is like doing this? But that's the thing is like, give us some backstory. Maybe these people, like maybe it's the fucking pastor and his wife and daughter.
That's what I mean.
Like there would be something is really this, cool.
Like, some sort of like sacrificial thing for a cult. Like,
right.
Give us any indication. But it was just like, oh, it's those kids with the bikes.
Right.
And no connection to like why they were here again.
And I think why the first one worked so well was because we knew nothing about them. And because they were like, the reason we're doing this is because you were home.
Which is so fucked. But you can't have that the same time.
Exactly.
And change the words.
Yeah.
And do the same things because that they did the first time.
Because it loses like the fucked upness. Like when you've already seen it.
Well, it's like it's already scary. We already saw that one.
Yeah.
It's like we already saw this happen before.
Right. But also like we don't need a part two.
No, we don't. Because what even is gonna happen?
Right.
She's alive. And then what? She finds out who they are? Like,
well, she already bashed the guy's head in with a baseball bat. Is he just magically alive?
Maybe. Oh my God. I don't know. I just...
The more I talk about it, the more upset I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
And I feel like now we've gone way too far off that track.
And I also feel like now that this one has come out and like they're obviously making
another one.
I'm worried that they're going to hear the cries of the poor, basically, of us saying like, hey, like we wanted an actual origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to try and give us like an origin story. And then they're going to do like a twist where it's like, well, the boyfriend set it up and like, you know, he's still alive or something. Like, I could see them just going so far off the rails that, to be honest with you, like, I might be done. The one thing in film that is really frustrating is a lack of originality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it's just so very obvious that you put zero thought into what you were making and you were just pumping out something for us to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm like, I'm done with you. Like
because like, what is the point of that?
Yeah. There's a very obvious lack of passion. Mm-hmm. There's a very obvious lack of
creativity. Yeah.
And I feel like doing a chapter two is just like trying to suck in people who have, like myself and like you, have loved this movie for years and years and years now. And it just feels like leechy.
Yeah, it does. And I'm like,
succubus
energy. What's the deal with the product placement?
What's the deal with the product?
You know what I mean? Yeah, like something's weird about that. And it's like, that was my first thought when they did that. I was like, oh, they had to get a sponsor for their movie?
I think we can stop abusing the horse.
Yeah, let's leave it alone.
It's already dead. We've kicked it enough.
Yeah.
Small popcorn. Please do not spend money on this movie.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
If you want to watch something on streaming and it's free, which it will be somewhere for free in the future, go for it. Like, again, sure. I think as somebody that enjoys horror, there are parts of it that are enjoyable and that you, if you're just like hanging out with your friends or you're bored, go for it.
There's some really good jump scares.
Yes.
Really good. It got me.
Yeah.
Good a couple times.
But like, please, for the love of God, don't give them more money.
Don't. please.
We need to take a stand now so that they realize part two shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
If we don't give them money, maybe they'll have to get some more product placements.
Some more sponsorships.
And it'll be more and more embarrassing.
That's embarrassing enough already to even have one.
Like, I get it for TV,
in a feature film in the movie theater.
Well, thank you guys again for coming back to us after another hiatus. Please just stay on top of our Instagram. That's where you're going to find the most up-to-date information. Whatever I say on here, again, I'm not going to try and make promises.
Don't
anymore.
Make promises you can't keep.
No, because things just keep popping up in our life.
Listen, life happens, man.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
It's just how it is. So keep an eye out on our Instagram for when the next episode will be. And until then, we hope you guys have a great week. Do not spend your money on Strangers Chapter 1.
Please don't do it.
Unless you get funds from Allie.
If your funds come through, then you can see it.
I can't. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the ride home.